Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show here on the Seika Network, the show for martial arts, fitness, and self-improvement. I'm Rosita DeJesus, and my brother and the art and co-host is Sifu Robert Steele. Sifu Bob, how you doing this evening?
I am doing wonderful. It's a great night. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited about the show.
Me too. For our inaugural episode, I can't think of a better guest than the guest that we're going to have today. So do you want to tell the listeners who our guest is going to be a little later, or shall I? I think you should do it.
Either way is fine. We can step on each other's words every now and then if you like.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's going to be Guru Lindsay Largusa, which is old school, old time martial arts, son of Guru Ben Largusa, godson mm-hmm. of Flora Villabrea.
Right on. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And so we'll have Guru Lindsay calling in here in about 40, 45 minutes. But in the meantime, if you would like to talk to me and Sifu Bob, or later on if you'd like to talk to Guru Lindsay, our call-in number here at the show is 347-677-0699. We also have a chat board up. I don't know if it's actually showing up on the website show page. So if anybody out there is actually on the Blog Talk Radio live feed for our show, there should be a chat board under the show marquee. If not, let me know or something so that way I can take care of that. So if that chat board isn't working, we also have a Facebook page, the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. And if you have to type it in on your phone, it's facebook.com/groups/Dynamic Dojo. And you can just post your questions for any of our guests on the show, Facebook page as well. In fact, I just put up a post up on our Facebook page that says, if you can't listen and would like to ask questions to our guest, Lindsay Largusa, just post on this thread. So make sure that you post on that thread instead of making a separate post, so that way I don't lose everybody. So several ways to get on. Calling is the best thing. This particular show is all about the audience. Because we initially started this show to be not only a great forum for discussion and for information and news, but we wanted to make sure that the listening audience was the special guests. Now, me and Bob will have special other guests to come in for interviews and stuff, but it's all based on you guys. So feel free to call in anytime during a live show, even if it's just to say hi or to talk to our guests. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about tonight's guest.
So cool. Am I.
So do you have any news? Do you have any news going on? Or I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I you know what? I would like to make some shout-outs, if you don't mind, Sifu.
Let's do some shout-outs.
You know, this is a very special weekend. I want to put a very special heartfelt shout-outs to our women and men who have served in the armed forces, our vets,
yes,
being Veterans Day weekend. We want you guys to know that we really appreciate your courage, your bravery, and your dedication to keep our great land safe.
Yes, sir.
I also, of course, you know, they're the best, and I also want to, of course, my friends listening from all over the world, my JKD instructor Mark Stewart out of Thailand, Greg Woldridge, which is living every martial arts dream right now, traveling, training in different places, Thailand, Cebu, the Philippines. He's in Cambodia. He's going to Laos. He's going to Israel.
I'm so
now,
jealous.
Hopefully I've got a couple of these guys calling in to at least wish us luck. You know, Billy Burke, maybe Jacob Bresler, which is going to be next week's guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out, if you have a tournament or anything you'd like to see promoted, we'll mention it on our show. Just post it on our Facebook page, and we'll be happy to mention it to you.
You bet.
And you can register for our website. Now, Sifu, what happens once somebody, if somebody registers for our website, what will happen?
You mean to the actual website or on the
to the actual Seeker Network website?
Oh, well, what happens, if I remember correctly, when people actually register as members on our website, the members actually get email notifications of any updates, any new news that's been added to the website. It also allows me, since I'm controlling the website, to have a way to email everyone all at once or individually if I need to. Like, for example, if someone leaves a message on the website asking a question, I can email them back directly from my website control board. But if they're a member, it means that they also can get on. They can also get on the chat forum there, because there's a separate forum, discussion forum on there that people can sign in on. So, you know, if they're a member, all they have to do is sign in, and then they can just starting discussions on the forum. So it's pretty cool.
That's very cool, Sifu. Very cool. So do you have any news for us?
You know, I have heard a lot about the release of the movie The Bladed Hand. Now, have you heard about the movie The Bladed Hand?
No,
about
I haven't.
Filipino martial arts. It's pretty cool. I saw a trailer on it. Some Filipino martial arts practitioner friends of mine shared a trailer of it this past summer, if I remember correctly. It was kind of like a teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Filipino martial arts. It's a documentary that features a bunch of FMA well-known people, luminaries, and it talks about the established styles and systems, and talking about the growth of the Filipino martial arts and historic and social contributions to the world. So it's pretty cool. So I saw the trailer, and I'm like, when's this going to be released? And a couple of friends on Facebook have posted that they had tickets to go see it in certain theaters that were playing it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't seen it yet. So apparently the actual in-theater release happened just recently. So it sounds like a great movie. I'm actually looking on IMDb right now. It's actually listed as of the release being 2012. And it was directed by Jay Ignacio. And apparently, like I haven't seen it, but apparently it'll have like interviews and stuff like that with the greats, you know, such as Gruden and Asano and everybody, and talking about its the history of Filipino martial arts and contributions to martial arts at large. So, apparently that movie has been released. I don't know how many theaters that it's going to be released in, because at least here locally, it's in a theater that isn't part of like the big, you know, the big chains or anything like that. It's being shown in a independent theater somewhere. But it's out there, The Bladed Hand. So if anyone wants to go check it out, I don't know if it's actually being released on DVD yet or if it's just, you know, coming out on private release or what. I have no idea, but it sounds like a great movie. So if there's anybody out there that has seen it already or knows how we can get our hands on a DVD or where to see it, call in and let us know, because it sounds like a great show. But other than that, I don't have any local news on my side.
Well, a friend of mine just posted one of our Master Carter students out of 29 Palms, Kel Killian.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he said, you guys sound great. Thank you, Kel, for listening. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the support you guys have always given us.
Great. And let's see here. Mark Stewart says he's got a question for Gudo, and I've yet to see what the question is. I'm like looking
I did tell girl Mark that girl Lindsay was not calling in until 6:45. So he's probably waiting.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and respond. We're ready for your question. There we go.
So let's talk about our vision for the show. You talked a little bit about the format, you know, guests, and our big guests, of course, being the listening audience. Mm-hmm. You and I discussed about having a rant and rave session once a month, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. That for those of you that are listening, this is actually the first episode that me and Bob are doing together. I'm actually also a co-host for Modern Combat Masters, another show here on Blog Talk Radio. But I started this network specifically initially as a health and holistic type of network, because I do Reiki and Tai Chi and Qigong and stuff like that. And I initially started the Seika Network just for that. But as time went on, because I set up the network last year, as time went on, I realized that for me, health and well-being and self-improvement, a lot of what makes me what I am now as far as the health and well-being and self-improvement was based on martial arts. The martial arts has given me a lot of my fitness, my well-being. Maybe I should rephrase that as not being as grumpy as often. And all that good stuff. Martial arts was a big part of my life and still is a big part of my life. So I decided, well, shoot, I'm just going to go ahead and do a martial arts show. But then I figured, wow, solo, that's going to be kind of weird, you know, having to man the board and control the board and take callers and do the show by myself. It'd be great if I had a co-host. And me and Bob, Sifu Bob, have a great dynamic together, on-air dynamic together, that we discovered while being on radio shows together. So I figured, hey, what better person for a co-host than Sifu Bob? So here you are.
And you know what's funny about that, Sifu, is I think within like a couple of days, I called you up and said, I think we should start our own show.
Yeah, yeah.
And you set up within a day and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd like to say I got pretty good at setting up shows, thanks to Grandmaster Daryl Sargent of the Modern Combat Masters show, because I'm controlling the board for that particular show. So thank you so much, Grandmaster Daryl, for being a wonderful chief host for Modern Combat Masters, and allowing me the experience, to find out the experience of running the studio board. And I must say that running this board is a whole heck of a lot easier than running a board, you know, for an actual radio station. When I was taking radio and TV back in college, I was almost like at my wit's end trying to keep track of all the buttons and sliders and reel to reels, and that just gave away how old I was, huh?
Yes, it did. I don't think reel to reel exists anymore.
No, they don't. I just gave that away. Reel to reels. That's how we used to queue up PSAs and stuff back then. But I love this setup. it's easy. All I need is a mouse, a computer mouse. It's great. But getting back to the vision of the show, I wanted to put together a show that while we had guests that we could interview, I wanted to make it like a forum, like an online forum, right? I moderate a forum called swordforum.com, and it's great because it's like any other forum. There are categories and subcategories, and people, you know, have really great in-depth discussions. And I thought to myself, well, wouldn't it be great if we could just talk through these discussions, right? And have great subjects to talk about, such as health and fitness, the business side of running a dojo, what else? Physical therapies and alternative therapies, health issues, rants and raves. And I think if we do that, that's gonna be a fun show. We'll get into
that,
the rant and raves. We'll get into the rant and raves here in just a second. But I wanted the show to be open to anybody out there, martial arts, fitness, self-improvement, motivational speakers, physical therapists, doctors, anybody, as opposed to being, you know, just a karate show or just a martial arts marketing show. You know what I'm talking about? So,
all right, cool.
Yeah, so I wanted something that was, you know, just a little bit different, a little more humorous. You know, I mean, that's not to say, folks, that me and Bob can't be serious. We can be serious when it comes to serious issues regarding martial arts, health, and fitness. But me and Bob like to have fun. So if you're listening, be prepared to have fun on this show.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and people, I was thinking of something. Being the host of the Dynamic Dojo, does that make us the dynamic duo of the Dynamic Dojo? Because, you know, you don't see, so you and Bert Ward are about the same size. I've only heard that, though, because I'm much too young to remember that show.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. The dynamic. You know, I did think of that once, the dynamic duo.
Hey, I've been
duo.
Thinking about that all week and how I was going to spring that on you.
I actually forgot about it until right now because I initially thought about it when I was setting up the show. I spent about like 3 days trying to figure out what should I call this because I didn't want to like name the show something that was identical to some other show out there. So I actually like trolled the internet and typed in the Dynamic Dojo, you know. And
trolled the internet? You know the police departments have divisions just for people like you?
One more time.
I'm just kidding.
Boy, this rim shot track is getting a lot of play today.
Well, it's better than the cricket.
Yeah, something happened with the crickets. I don't know what happened to the crickets, but crickets didn't make it to the board today. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But where was I? Oh, the vision. We're still on the vision. Yes,
we're still on the vision.
We're still on the vision. So anyway, yeah, I wanted something that was different and that was open to not only people that were like necessarily in the same field, right? So like, for example, if we were talking about, you know, how to improve mindset or setting goals or, you know, something like that, the mental part of the martial arts. I didn't want to make it, I didn't want the audience to think that, oh, well, you know, I guess we're just going to wait for the special guest to talk about how we can improve ourselves. Because there are students and teachers and masters and even non-martial artists out there that do have a grasp on what it takes to motivate oneself and how to improve on oneself, and or are practitioners of fields like, you know, psychology or even motivational speakers out there. And that's something that I want to bring on. Those are people that I want to bring onto the show as well, or motivational speakers. I want to bring in the backyard dojo people, you know, as you know, not only the famous people, but you know, I want to give a shout out out there to you know, all the martial artists out there that don't necessarily have a brick and mortar dojo and are teaching out of their garage or teaching out of their homes and giving back to the martial arts because they love to do it. Those are the people that we want on the show. So that was kind of what I wanted to do with the show. And I can't think of a better co-host to do that with than with you, Bob.
Thank you for
joining me on this venture, and I'm hoping that
you had the show idea the other day. You know, you're going over all these ideas. I thought it was a great idea, even though it stems into the martial arts. We're going to bring I know a fencer, you know a few fencers with swords up there, and we're going to have a discussion between the Eastern and Western philosophies of the arts, which I thought was an amazing idea.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about making it a forum, right? You know, having, like, for example, if we are talking about, let's say, Western martial arts, let's just say, for us to bring on, you know, several people from the Western martial arts and opening the phone lines to anyone and everyone out there, whether student, teacher, master, or someone who's just interested in martial arts, to be able to call in and be a part of the forum, to be a part of the discussion. And what me and Bob want, folks, for this type of show, for our show, is that I want everyone to feel like comfortable, as if, you know, everyone's hanging out, having a good time, you know, having a coffee or a beer and talking about cool stuff, you know. And I want people, even down to like first day beginners in martial arts or non-martial artists, to call in and ask questions and know that no question is dumb. I guess it's only dumb if you don't ask a question, right?
That's absolutely right. And all egos are left aside. No egos on our show.
Exactly.
We're all here to grow.
Exactly. Leave the ego at the door. And that's another thing. Maybe I should upload a door slamming sound effect.
When you disconnect somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's a door. No. No, we hope to never do that. But just know that on the show, let's play nice. You know, if you disagree with someone, there is a way to agree to disagree without having to sling mud or call names or whatever. Because you know, the second something starts to get personal, I've got the button. So you know, I don't want to have to take anyone off, take any caller off the show. But you know, we can discuss anything. Let's just play nice. So
absolutely,
call in, have fun. I totally agree
with that.
Yeah, call in.
Yeah, we're all here to learn. It's going to be a great time had by all.
Exactly. So that was a little bit about my vision, and I know you had some ideas too. So what are some of your ideas?
Well, you know, it wasn't a good thing that you and I hadn't talked a lot before the show. meaning a couple weeks ago, because I invited. I had a different vision. Well, I thought it was your vision too, and because you and I hadn't talked, now we're on the same page. And mm-hmm. I want to tell everybody that said that they wanted to be on the show, be patient with us. I had about 30 masters respond. I mean,
wow.
That have been around for a number of years. And I respect you all dearly, but just be patient. We're going to get to everybody, and I appreciate you consenting to be on our show. But we
have
a year's worth of guests in the background.
Next week,
we're going to have two guests back to back. And then I'm not going to be on the show, of course, as you know, Sifu, in 2 weeks. I'm going to be driving a car in the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which is You know, I love you, but it's something, one of those things I couldn't pass up because it may never come across again.
Well, yeah, and if you did pass it up just to be on the show, I would have slapped you silly. I mean,
I know, and I would have done my best to make you feel bad.
Yeah. I can't find the rim shot. There it is.
There you go.
There you go. No, you have to do that. Now, before we get to who some of our potential upcoming guests are, before I forget, I want to tell the listeners what the format's going to be. This show and next week, we'll have special guests on the show. And then after that, we will have special guests every other week. So that means on the weeks that we don't have a special guest, there'll be a specific forum discussion subject. And when we post the discussion subjects on Facebook and Twitter and on the website and on the Dynamic Dojo page on Facebook, everyone will get an idea of what the subject's going to be. And on the day we don't have a guest, we'll open the phone lines for discussion, which will be very cool. And like I said, anyone can call in. You know, don't be shy. Don't feel that because, you know, you're not a martial artist, you can't call in. Because, you know, if the subject is, alternative therapies or whatever, if you got experience getting acupuncture or whatever, call in, tell us how it is, because everyone else would want to know, right? And people's takes and opinions on a particular subject might differ too, and that's what's going to add to the fun of the forum discussions here on this show. So I just want the listeners to know that. So getting back to some of the potential guests that
I hope you have a list in front of you.
I don't have the email up, no. Dang it.
Well, some of our potential guests, do you want to name some of them off the top of your head, or do you want me to?
If you could, that'd be great. Just a few.
Okay,
we've got
Guru Mark Stewart from Thailand, Guru Soki Greg Wooldridge, Cheryl Wheeler Duncan, which is an old-class kickboxer. Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that. Eric O'Neill Sr., Robert Parham, Wes Bennett, Pendekar Victor Dutoir.
That's
going to
be a hot show, I'll bet. These are all going to be hot shows.
They're all great. These are all down-to-earth martial artists. Pendekar Victor jumped at the chance. He even thought he'd have to go into a studio, and I said, "No, it's out of the comfort of your own living room."
Right. You can wear your jammies and your slippers and be on the show.
That's
going to
be an amazing show. Just Cecil, I'm excited to the history of some of these martial artists.
Oh, I know, right?
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were talking about that movie coming out. That's going to be amazing. The history, the Spanish Inquisition. The takeover, of Spain in the Philippines.
Right.
It's just going to be a tremendous thing. And there's a lot of intricacies about the Filipino males and the warrior aspect and what they did and how they did it. I'm jazzed. I'm really jazzed about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I don't know how. Well, like I said, one of my Facebook friends tagged me on a post. And apparently they went to go see it this past weekend, or they're going to see it this weekend. I don't remember. And I was like, oh man, I wish I could join you guys. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's out. I was pretty excited about the movie. Now it's just a matter of finding out where it's playing. So call in somebody. Let me know. Come on.
Yeah, anyone in the Seattle area.
Let me know, or post it on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, whatever you want to do. But yeah, looks like there's a let's see, a couple of people logged into the chat board.
Nice.
But haven't said anything yet. Hello, guest 12151. I wonder if they realize I'm talking to them. Anyhow.
Probably, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah. And let's see. Speaking of which, I'm
I want to say, if anybody's noticed, that we're not picking a particular style. All of our guests come from a variety of backgrounds, hard,
yes,
soft styles, whatever. It doesn't matter. We want to hear from everybody. Remember what a great martial artist said. There, in martial arts, every martial art has something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Lee said something I'll remember to this day: absorb what is useful, discard what is useless. What works for somebody won't work, may not work for me. What works for me may not work for them.
Exactly.
And that's
my favorite.
That was just a saying that comes to mind.
Yeah. No, I agree. One of my favorite quotes is actually by Confucius: among any three people, there must be my teacher. And it doesn't matter who that person is. And, you know, and that's where me and Bob are at when it comes to leave the ego at the door, you know, when we're doing the discussions and stuff like that. We're all here, you know, for the same reason, to talk about something that is interesting to us, whether it's martial arts, whether it's fitness, whether it's self-improvement. It all ties together, and anything can have a relationship with the other subjects. So, you know, basically I guess what we're saying is me and Bob, you know, we're asking that everyone be open-minded when you call in, and you know, and be prepared to have fun discussions. So, but somehow I'm thinking that there are people out there listening, and they're thinking, should I call in?
And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Call in. We want to talk to you. Which is what?
Exactly.
Something.
Yeah. Or, you know, even even if you don't have anything to contribute to the discussion at hand on any given show, if you have, even if you've got an idea for forum subjects for upcoming shows, or if you have an idea for upcoming guests, let us know. Call in.
Yeah,
email
absolutely.
Us.
We'll listen to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Girl Lindsay did text me back and from my reminder, and says she'll be there.
Oh, okay. Cool. So in about,
you know,
and
I
minutes.
Told you, Sifu, I am just nervous about things going wrong in this first show, because it is our first show.
Yeah. I was nervous earlier, but the neat thing is about these shows on Blog Talk Radio is that because it's actually done from the comfort of, you know, my own home, so to speak, and I'm not sitting in a glass booth with, you know, an 8-foot mixing board, you know, without like a bunch of CD players or anything like that, or turntables or whatever, I feel pretty at ease. It's like
turntables.
They still have turntables nowadays, right?
Yeah, my kids wouldn't know what a turntable was. Or vinyl.
Oh, man, that kind of reminds me, and I'm sure everyone out there that's over 30 years old can relate. Anyhow, I remember years ago, my nieces, they asked me, Auntie, did they have CDs when you were a kid? And my sister and I looked at each other, and we kind of giggled, and I went into the back room, and I pulled out an LP. I said, this was what we had. And my youngest niece goes, how do you play that? How do you put that in a CD player? And I was like, we didn't have CD players back then. We had turntables. So I actually pulled out an old record player and showed them how it worked. And they thought it was the neatest thing since sliced bread. And
one of my first cars, Sifu, had an 8-track.
Yeah. My first car had an 8-track in it, too.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, and my car now still has a cassette. thing in there. And, yeah, I don't know. 1994,
They don't even sell cassettes anymore, do they?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe on eBay.
Yeah, I don't know if they're considered antiques or something like that.
Well, so are we.
Oh, that's true. I don't know. I mean, 46 years old, that's classic. That's not antique.
That's right. Anything over 20 is a classic. That's
yeah.
That's right. Keep
yeah.
thinking that.
Yeah. No, honestly, though, what actually makes something an antique? Now, I know it's like the other day I saw an old sewing machine, you know, the old kind with the pedal cradle and stuff like that, right?
Right,
and I thought,
right.
That's an antique, right? But I have no idea what is an antique, but anyhow. Is it 50 years?
Well, I think classic is 20 years and antique is like 50 and over.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, that makes sense. So we're not quite antiques.
Not yet. Almost.
Not yet.
Oh, I've got another
2 years
and I'm an antique.
Okay. I can't wait to call myself that.
Oh, me either. Yeah, yeah. At 55, I get to go into Denny's for the senior special.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm having too much fun, you know that.
I know. We're always going to have a blast, and we welcome. Anything on the draft party yet, or are they still sitting there?
They're still sitting there. We've got guest number 12151. And, oh, no, guest number 12719 has logged out. So far, there's one person on the chat board right now. So if you're listening, tell us who you are. We'll give a shout out to you. So,
absolutely. So what else do you have planned for the show? Other than, you know, the forums, we're going to have some great discussions, some people we might bring in for, let's say we have a nutrition segment,
mm-hmm.
maybe we'll bring in a bodybuilder, something like that, to be more of a facilitator than anything
yeah.
else.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you know, I want these guests for the forums to be, not so much a, you know, straight up interview. Yes, I'd want to know, you know, if I bring on a massage therapist, for example, I want to know, you know, how they can be contacted, what their experience is, you know, what their specialty is, that kind of thing. But, you know, when we bring on professionals or from these fields, we kind of want them to be moderators along with me and Bob. To field, not necessarily to field questions because, you know, I'll take any question, you know, if I answer the phones here, right? But to help be that person that helps answer a question or to promote discussion. So I've thrown out that idea to several good friends of mine that are professionals in their own field, and they're all up for it. You know, I do want to bring in a friend of mine who is a massage therapist that specializes in sports massage. And Lynn, if you're listening, expect a phone call from me in the next few weeks. I also want to bring in...
She better be listening.
Well, what time is it? It's 6:30. No, she's probably still got a client. So, and then she has to do book work after that. But I'll have her listen to the show. But I also want to bring in motivational speakers. I have a friend that is really good with the subject of changing your mindset, you know, how to achieve your goals and stuff like that. Wonderful speaker who is a published author, has a very popular book out on Amazon.com. So I hope to bring on Jaden Phoenix one of these days. I don't know when. It'll probably be like next year or something. But so I want to bring in a bunch of people that will help be, like you said, moderators with us for these subjects. so that way the discussions are informative and fun. So yeah, it'll be great. I'm so excited. I can almost spit.
Yeah, so am I.
I said, having a motivational speaker.
Huh?
I said spit. It almost came out wrong.
Oh, good catch, Cecil. Good catch. But
yeah,
you know, having a motivational speaker is great because it sounds so much better than somebody saying, you suck.
Yeah, you know, like we don't want it to be one of those, like, you know, reality, not reality shows, but those shows where, you know, oh, I don't know, I'm trying to think of one. There we go. I don't want a show to be kind of like that show on Discovery or cable called Hoarding, where, you know, where people go,
right.
Where, you know, psychotherapists go, well, this is what's wrong with you, and you need to address your issues if you want to, you know, get better, you know. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be on the Hoarding show if they didn't want help, right? You know, why do you want to, like, tell someone that they suck or that there's something wrong with them or whatever? But I guess we'll save that for the Rants and Raves shows. And I figure maybe once a month, we'll have just a rant and rave. Just call in a rant about anything. I don't care what it is. You know, doesn't even have to be martial arts. So I think that's going to be a fun show.
That is going to be a blast. Just to hear the ideas people have and, you know, to hear what they're upset about. What their pet peeves are. That's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah. And I figure if we do it once a month, it'll give everyone a nice forum to just kind of unload a little bit, as long as we play nice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one rule, play nice. You know, I love the idea about having somebody come in and teach a little bit about running a dojo, you know, automating and things like that, setting up the website, where to go, how to do it, how you can do it yourself instead of paying somebody thousands of dollars to set up your site for you.
Exactly. And other things, you know, like other subjects such as, for example, drills and exercises for fun classes. Because I know, like, for myself, you know, I've got, like, a lot of drills and exercises and stuff like that, but sometimes I just get into that funk where I can't think of anything else that will make, you know, a self-defense portion of my class fun, because I've repeated the same exercise over and over again, or the same game, or the same whatever. And I know that there are thousands of people out there that take martial arts and have been in a class where their teacher has this really cool way of introducing a drill or a game that deals with a specific type of martial arts theory or something like that. And that's what we want you guys out there in listener land to call in with, you know, whether you're a 2-day student, two-year student, 20-year teacher, we want to hear from you. You know, that's what this network is all about. And I can't stress that term enough, is network. You know, let's all work together here and see about helping each other out with, you know, running a dojo or learning martial arts. You know,
yeah, or the one show I'm really excited about, teaching kids.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
But that's an artwork. That's an art form in itself.
It is. And, you know, I learned the hard way how to teach kids over the last 25 years. And if there are people out there that have a system that works and has a system of teaching kids that will help other new instructors with teaching kids, then let's bring them on. Well, it looks like our special guest is on the line. So
nice.
I'm going to give the honors to you, Sifu Bob, if you would introduce our special guest.
Is he on yet, or are you ready to press that button?
The mic is on.
Guru Lindy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sifu Bob, and how you doing, Sifu Rosita?
I'm doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Congratulations on the Dynamic Dojo. What an awesome show. I got to listen to it a little bit and hear a little bit of your vision. It's really a good vision.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're hoping
that...
Thank
you so much, sir.
Thank you. It's an honor to get the well wishes from you, because me and Bob, we're hoping that the show does goes places, does well, and we hope that it can be a network for all martial artists and fitness professionals and anybody out there. So, yeah.
You know, a while back, I stopped watching TV, so I do listen to a lot of shows. One of my favorites, if I'm taking long drives, is I love listening to Coast to Coast, you know, and radio shows like that. And it's very educational, and you know, I love hearing other people's viewpoints and their angle or how they learned or came up with something, you know, especially masters and grandmasters that come up with a system or a technique, you know.
Right.
Did they get it themselves, or did they dream about it one night, you know, or did it come in a vision or that type of thing?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of what me and Sifu Bob are hoping that this can be for a weekly thing. We hope to grow the listener base and go from there. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Now, what are your backgrounds, if I may ask? A little bit on your backgrounds. I know a little bit.
Oh, sure. You want to go first, Bob, or?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
You know some of my past instructors, Guru. I grew up learning from Guru Mark Stewart, which was directly under Guru Dan Inosanto and Guru Ted Lukai. I met Lucky once at their Bakersfield house.
Wow.
Just incredible individuals. I actually had a really hard time when Ted left us.
Oh, same
he was
here.
A great instructor. I didn't make his funeral. I did make his wake. I've studied Okinawa Te with George Murzynowski, and Wing Chun with the same person. Pali, of course, with Guru Ted, some Sabat, Wing Chun with Master Randy Williams, Kang Swan Do with Soki Greg Wooldridge. I've been in 26 martial arts videotapes for unique publications, the old Inside Kung Fu, which no longer exists from what I understand.
I'm so bummed out about that.
me too. Curtis sold the business. They just buried it. I was in videos with Guru Felix Valencia, which was under the Lamico system with Edgar Solite.
Outstanding.
So I've had quite a bit of background. Your turn, Sifu.
Okay, short and sweet. My initial background in martial arts started with Butokukan Karate. And then in 1991, I forget, I started learning Kaju Kenbo under Sifu Terry Faircloth. And then later on with Sifu Aldecascos. And I've since then also studied Chen style Tai Chi, Yang style Tai Chi, contemporary Wushu, and Doce Pares Eskrima. So
wow.
That's kind of my short and sweet. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like I'm in good company.
Yeah. We are so honored to have you on the show. In fact, it looks like we have questions fielding in already. Would you be willing to take
Did you see Guru Mark's?
Yes, I did. Now I just got to go back to it here. This is a question for Guru Lindsay.
Okay.
It says, this is Mark Stewart living in Sattahip, Thailand, and I am a longtime student of the late Ted Lukai. Could you please explain to us what Tayada is and why and how it translates into effective fighting skills. And he sends his best respects, and I guess that's why he can't call in because he's in Thailand. But thank you so much, Guru Stewart, for your question. So great question, Tayada.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Guru Stewart, and be safe out there in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Tayada is basically comes off the circle and circling, and you hear a lot of that in the Villebrel-Argusa system, and especially from my dad. He believed in it. And
mm-hmm.
Floro Villebrel got that from watching chickens. He was an avid chicken fighter. And Floro Villebrel actually ran one of the biggest chicken fighting derbies in Hawaii at one time. And he had a lot of experience with chicken fights, dog fights, and noticed that circling was inherent amongst all animals. Chickens did it especially with when they would use the spurs on their legs, and
mm-hmm.
they would try to angle, and it's so fast you could barely keep up and see it. And the tayada or the circle is your ultimate goal is to try to go to the back of your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And especially it's really apparent when your opponent has a gun or a knife in their hand. Where's the safest place to be? Would be behind, standing behind that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the old masters, and I see it in from a lot of different systems, they try to get to the back of the opponent, and it's very hard. And in all honesty, it's very hard to do. Nobody's going to let you go to their back. You can do the
mm-hmm.
you can help them by using one arm drags or special footwork to get to the back
mm-hmm.
and that's what tayada basically is you're trying to circle one way to the right or to the left. I hope I answered his question.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Are you going to type that in?
I'm sorry.
Cecil Racine, are you going to type that into the Facebook page?
I hope Guru Stewart is listening.
I hope he's listening. Right?
Yeah, online, you know. Yeah, because my transcription skills really suck. I haven't done that in 20 years. So.
you know, the Villebrel-Argusa system, we practice it not only in that system, a lot of different systems. Practice circling all the time because it is so hard to do. But once you get the basics down, it's a great advantage in fighting, especially when you're in tight quarters,
mm-hmm.
Close quarters.
Now,
were there drills
or exercises in the system that helped the practitioners learn that skill? Or
yes, you actually.
Okay.
Like you see the asterisk on the floor, you know, or on the wall,
mm-hmm.
that's very popular and famous. You also see circles on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and we would actually paint a circle, an inner circle and an outer circle on the floor, and work the footwork for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it
wow.
involves and the footwork is everything you see. It's part of the triangle. You see the triangle footwork in there. You see the crossovers. You know,
mm-hmm.
Basically everything you see in FMA and a lot of the Indonesian and Malaysian martial arts, you'll see that same footwork when you work the circle.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very cool. Do you have any questions?
Tayada is impossible to do. It's very hard to go to somebody's back, and that's what you train for. And
mm-hmm.
If you could find somebody that works with that, try to get a good foundation in it, you know, for those that don't know anything about it. But if you've worked with
mm-hmm.
the triangle footwork or a lot of the asterisk footwork, you've probably been doing the circle footwork.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Great. Awesome. Sifu Bob, do you have any questions for Guru Lindsay?
Well, Guru, in my reading, I understand that your family was the first ones to bring Kali to the United States. Is that accurate?
You know, that said, I don't think it's like the Ford you know, the automobile thing, you know, I think it was, I think there was a couple other systems. There definitely was a lot of other systems out there during that time. And we're talking the early 60s. And a lot of it was in garages. I mean, karate was just coming out. Kung Fu was just coming out. And there was Arnaz Sirkali. You know, I've heard that said. I never really heard that said by my father, you know, from himself. But I know we were one of the first ones, but there was quite a bit out there. Now, we're talking, you know, in the Bay Area, where which was right next to Stockton. And there definitely was a bunch of schools out there. So I wouldn't say that we were the first. No, I'd say we were there in the beginning, you know.
Right
now,
on.
Now, I've heard some, I don't know if they're true or not, but along the lines with the Filipino males, they have a certain warrior mindset that they'll do certain things like, Guru Lucky, from what I understand, he had one thumbnail long on his dominant hand that he actually sharpened to a point. So he always had, whether he had a blade on him or not, which of course he probably always did, he had his hand as well. Is that something that the Filipino males typically might do?
That is true for whatever reason. Lucky was I considered him like an uncle. I love his family, his daughters, his wife, his, you know, his son. Of course, we were close, and he was right up there with the grandmasters. And that, yeah, they were always thinking about, you know, like we'd be eating at a Denny's or something, and one of the uncles would show me how to make a weapon out of a fork, you know, at the table.
Wow.
And, you know, I was blessed and fortunate to grow up around a lot of martial arts. And in the old days, they were just my dad's friends or uncles or somebody I met. And we're talking like Ed Parker and a lot of the old timers coming up at that time, you know, was always coming by the house or training with my dad. And, it is, it was more like, you know, for me, as I get older, I can understand it. When you do go into like martial arts or you train, I escape the world myself. You know, I don't want to think about the news. I don't want to think about, you know, what's going on in the world and all the stuff that you think about. And it really is a beautiful place to be. And at the same time, you're practicing, which nobody really does out there. You know, I mean, you can go to 10 or 20 of your neighbors. How many, an hour or 2 hours a day, train martial arts or something? You know, it is rare.
Yeah. Wow. Looks like we have another caller.
Oh, cool. Okay, great.
Yeah. Now, before we get the calls, I just want to let the audience know that rather than me going in to screen everybody, which I can do, but it's kind of tough. What I normally do is I'll announce the area code, and if there's more than one of the same area code, I'll be announcing the last four digits of your phone number as well. So just make sure that when you call in to talk with the guest or something like that, that you press 1, so that way I know that you're actually here to ask a question. So we've got a caller from area code 818, last four digits 8143. Thanks for calling the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Go ahead.
Miles, is that you?
Yeah, it is, Bob. How are you, man?
Oh, good. This is a good friend of mine, Miles Bonner. We grew up together studying martial arts with a lot of the same people, and I recognize his phone number.
I'm like, wow, there's more than one 818. What's going on? Right on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. My question was for Guru Lagosa. I was wondering how much of the Spanish influence came into the Kali Eskrima camp. I know they were very accomplished, you know, fencers, probably considered the best in the world at the time. So which went where? Which influenced which? And how did the Spanish stuff influence Cali, or if it did or didn't? Thank you.
Yes, I believe the Spanish had a lot of influence in the arts. Before we called it Cali, we called it Escrima. And I've known it as Escrima for, you know, for the longest time, longer than I've known it as Cali. And a lot of the terminology, you know, avante, atrás, is all like Spanish or Latin in origin. So even the numbering, you know, even a lot of the words in the language itself is infused with Spanish terminology.
Okay, great. How about like technique-wise?
Technique, yes, definitely. I see a lot of sword fighting techniques. We've been working on, like, the thrusting. I know on the thrusting in FMA, you don't see a whole lot of thrusting in a Villebrel-Argusa system. The angles of attack would be the 5, the 6, and the 8, which is a gut thrust, throat thrust, and the mouth thrust. Well, I see the same thrusting in other systems, in European systems, in fencing. So I believe it probably did have its origins there, or they're very similar.
Very good. Hey, thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Miles.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye. Hey, good.
Bye.
Good. Best wishes with your show, too.
Oh,
great,
thank you.
Well, let's go ahead and take just a really quick PSA break. We'll be back in about 1 minute. So if you're just tuning in, we've got our special guest, Guru Lindsay Largusa. Our call-in number here is 347-677-0699. And let's pause for just a minute from a word for a public service announcement.
Did you hear he tried out for the school's basketball team? He'd make a better ball than a player.
Yeah, he's so fat, the only exercise he gets is running after the ice cream truck.
Did you see the new girl in English today? She's so ugly, she could make onions cry.
She must like to conserve energy. She clearly gets dressed in the dark every morning.
Not funny? Well, neither is cyberbullying. What you may think is just a harmless joke could really hurt someone's feelings. Think about what you put on the internet.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome back, everyone. If you are just tuning in, you've just tuned into the Dynamic Dojo radio show. Our special guest is Guru Lindsay Largusa. Our call-in number here is 347-677-0699. We also have our chat board up if you're listening on the Blog Talk radio site. However, if you can't call in or get onto the chat board, you can also go to our Facebook page, the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show group. So if you're a member on that group, you can go ahead and type your questions there, and I'll check that periodically. So let's get back with Guru Lindsay Largusa. So Sifu Bob, was I wrong in thinking that you had another question?
Of course not. No, I have a couple comments.
Okay.
One is, if you do, to all our listeners, if you do call in, turn your computer down if you're listening to the show.
Yeah.
Because I did hear feedback from Miles, and I think that was his computer.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that.
And Guru,
I was
going to
say
something interesting, and about sensing and so forth. I told Sifu this. I was teaching at a fencing school about 20 years ago here in Burbank, and there was a saber tournament coming up, and I decided I wanted to take a saber lesson to prepare for it. I took one lesson. I out of 20 competitors, I came in fourth. Oh wow!
I know, right? That's pretty good.
You know what technique I used when I was slaughtering everybody with? I was redondoing the heck out of everybody. And these people were seasoned saber fencers. Now, I understand that you actually lived with Guru Villabrea and was his godson. Is that true?
Yes, I did. I went to my junior year on Kauai, in Kauai, Hawaii, and I went to Kapa High School my junior year, and I stayed with, I lived actually with my grandfather and my grandmother, stayed with them for a while, and then I also stayed with Uncle Flora Villabrea, and with him, and then I shared the same room with his son, Flora Villabrea Jr., and he just recently passed away also, very young. I mean, like 57. So,
wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. He was also great in martial arts. I don't know if, but relatively unknown, but that was Junior Villabrea. They called him Junior.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a real warrior. I mean, in everything he did.
Wow.
You know, I had a funny story about Guru Ted. One time, him and Tanya, his wife at the time, walked into this restaurant. Somebody reached over and grabbed her by the butt. She knocked him out. And Guru Ted, upset Guru Ted more than anything else was that he didn't get a chance. He just jumped at it, pounded him.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
girl,
do people still do that?
Grabbing people's butts? I mean, that's ridiculous.
But this was when it wasn't acceptable, but it wasn't like it is now.
Oh, okay.
This was 30 years ago. Growing up with Guru Flora and, of course, your dad, was it really intense? Was it like 6 in the morning workouts?
That's what I want to know.
How was it growing up?
Yes. One thing with why Flora loved and respected my dad was my dad didn't have to be told, Grandmaster Ben Larkis didn't have to be told what to do to train. There was no excuses, basically. When I lived with Flora Villabrea, for example, his son Junior, my cousin Junior, was playing football. So My Uncle Flora wanted Hit Junior to be better than the rest of the guys. Well, yes, they did get up before the sun came up. 6 o'clock in the morning, they were running, and they ran the perimeter of his property. He owned quite a bit of property on Kauai, and he would just run the perimeter of that early in the morning and get your road work in. And that's one thing that Flora believed in big time was having the gas to fight, getting your road work or some kind of cardio, do jump ropes, do lunges, whatever, you know, whatever it takes to get that heart rate up and for a certain period of time. And he believed that 1 hour of hard training equaled 1 minute in a real fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking like somebody's going to try to take your head off fight.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah. And my dad, through his whole life, was very committed and religious about working out, about training. And he would set that time aside. And like I mentioned earlier, as I got older, I understood it was his little Zen moment, you know, his little area where he could just do for himself, you know, a little selfish hour, which I think we all need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Girl, can you take another question from my girl, Mark Stewart?
Sure. Be a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
It says, many FMA folks out there are using the term palantukan generically to cover all aspects of empty hand FMA. In your experience and understanding, what are the differences between palantukan and mano y mano?
Great question.
With all the hand arts out there, I've worked out or trained with other styles, and we just flowed. And I think that's why FMA and Jeet Kune Do, I mean, they're like brothers and sisters, you know, because of that flow thing that Grandmaster Bruce Lee had was the same thing that a lot of FMA masters have, And I don't care what system, what island, wherever it comes from or what they call it, it is the same. You know, it's a beautiful part of Filipino martial arts that is that hand art. And we use it in boxing. We applied it to karate. You know, there's a lot of great karate men that excelled over the years, and a lot of them were using FMA, you know, to help them in whatever art they had. It helped me in judo. It helped my dad in judo. And that comes from that. There is no difference between that. And I notice every master has his puts his little signature on there. Mm-hmm. You know, they put that little thing or a little twist on it, and it creates something totally new. You know, like I was watching some videos of the late great Sonny Umpad, Grandmaster Sonny Umpad, mm-hmm. and you know, at first it looked strange when I was watching what he was doing, and then when I went to copy and do it, it flowed. I go, oh my God, he's doing this, you know,
mm-hmm.
and but. Yeah, I think it's all different letters, different packaging for the same thing.
Very cool.
Got it. Very good. That was a great question.
That was. Now, how are you getting these questions, Bob? Are you doing this on a computer? Or are you doing this all on your phone? Because
all on my phone. That's why I was reading and hesitating, because I had to scroll horizontally back and forth.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, how's he getting these questions? Because I've been going back and forth, but mine, my computer doesn't refresh on its own. I have to like help it along, and my computer's being stupid, and Facebook doesn't want to like work for me. So.
Oh, nice, nice. Now, girl, I've got a question for you. You've studied with many, many artists. Have you noticed growing up as a traditional FMA artist, Has it gotten watered down through the generations? Not just the technique, the terminology from Tagalog to English, that sort of thing.
You know, I actually haven't seen, as far as technique wise or application wise, I haven't seen too much of a difference. Like, you know, I'm sure there's people that would beg to differ, but I would be real hesitant to say a Filipino martial art that originated in, let's say, California, is it inferior to one that's always been in Cebu and the Visayas, you know? And mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of guys think that, you know, and don't say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not at all. The masters that I've seen, like Grandmaster Gilbertino, Grandmaster Lucai, they were just as good as somebody born and raised in Cebu. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe they didn't have perfect, they didn't speak perfect Visayan or Tagalog, but the art was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you compare that FMA to building a car or a Harley, no, that Harley that was built in California, that FMA Harley is the same as the FMA Harley out of Visayas that they're building there,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just as good. Right. You know, I'd say it's right there. I wouldn't say it's any less or any better.
Not very nice. When I was growing up with Guru Ted, he could flow like, oh my God, like nobody else could. Had the footwork, and of course this is going to sound wrong the way I'm going to say it, but we were doing some skipping footwork. And I couldn't quite get it. And he looked at me and he said, "Boy, you are white." And I went, "Oh, geez." And Drew, you were there.
No,
Bob, I can relate. I couldn't do the footwork like my dad. You know, I do have two left feet, and so I had to really study that footwork to at least get half of it down, you know what I mean? To do half of what they were doing. My dad was a dancer, a great dancer, which one of my brothers takes after him. They move exactly alike, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's And you know, some things are inherent, some things are a gift, I think. And, you know, if you can dance, you can, the footwork that we're talking about, Tayada and circling and the asterisk, no, that'll be, that's nothing. They could pick it up just like that. But it actually scared me. I remember being fearful of the footwork drills because I didn't really mm-hmm. understand it. I didn't know how to do it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I completely understand because I absolutely went through that. And there are some things that people ask me, well, how did you develop that footwork, the body drop and everything else? I can honestly say I got that from Guru Mark Stewart through Guru Ted. He just had the footwork down. Now it took me longer to get it than it did him. So mm-hmm. once you had it, it was all yours. Now, Guru, do you have a brick-and-mortar school, or do you work out of your backyard?
I teach out of a few schools here in Las Vegas, and I do privates. I do mostly training. I was doing private security, which kept me from doing a lot of from establishing a school. You know, when I was in the service, and I did private security, but now I. We will be opening up a school, or I'll be teaching on two schools on two different places in Las Vegas, yes.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, we train at the parks when we can because the weather is real nice in Las Vegas. I mean, you know, there's no mm-hmm. snow and that type of thing. So we can train at least 6 to 8 months out of the year outside. And but we do have beautiful air-conditioned and heated dojos that we train out of too, and one of them is the Hard Knocks Muay Thai on the southwest side, and that's Sifu Renzo Asperia.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody wanted to seek you out at these schools, is there would it be okay if we let the listeners know where they can find you?
Oh, they could call me direct. I'm real easy to get a hold of. Like I say, I'm pretty semi-retired, so I do have a couple things that keeps me busy all the time. But I can, you know, I'm not so busy. I can't take a call or return calls. Just call me directly or email me.
Oh, okay, great. And we'll post that information up for our listeners on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page after the show. So if you're listening and you want to get a hold of Guru Lindsay, train with him, or whatever, we'll post all that contact information up on the page in a little bit. So, wow. Yeah. So I'm curious, though, the you had talked about the hard training and the getting up at 6 o'clock and the running and stuff like that. When you were growing up in training, what was your take on the training? What was your experience and your feelings toward it and stuff like that?
I seen with my own eyes why a person, not just because he was my father, but let's say mm-hmm. Referring to my dad because that's who I watched growing up. And mm-hmm. he worked on strength, he worked on his cardio, and he worked on technique constantly. And no messing around working out. Like from the beginning, let's say you start your workout, you get off work, you start your workout around 6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you set your time from 6 to 7. That's a straight workout with no breaks. So if you're working on a circle, you're just doing footwork for the whole hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my dad was a strong believer in dynamic tension. He came up the same time with Jack LaLanne. He used to watch Jack LaLanne all the time.
Oh, uh-huh.
And actually, they both taught at the San Francisco Police Department together at one time. But my dad did a lot of dynamic tension, and he would do imaginary stuff like he would imagine he was pushing a big boulder,
mm-hmm.
and he would, you know, go through that whole thing with dynamic tension, or somebody grabbed his wrist with his other arm, he would simulate the somebody grabbing his wrist,
mm-hmm.
and to a degree where he's soaked in sweat, you know,
wow.
But by the time he's done with that hour workout.
Wow.
You know, stick trolls is another one. Stick trolls is another one. Playing with the stick, twirling, and almost like, you know, like, for example, like the thing Bruce Lee did with the nunchucks where he's spinning it, and, you know, behind his back and all that. Well, my dad would do that for an hour, too, with the sticks. You know,
wow.
And,
very cool.
You see a lot of the masters playing with it. They call it, you know, like a dance, concert or something. But he would do that for an hour straight, nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's good for that's really good to hear because, you know, nowadays, you know, I'm not talking about like all martial arts, but nowadays many people getting into martial arts, you know, come into martial arts with an expectation of, you know, like getting good really quick. And sometimes, you know, some people want to forego the basics and go right to the good stuff, quote unquote. And it's so refreshing to hear about the old school kind of training and the attention to technique and the repetition and the, you know, and dedicating oneself to the training, and not waiting for the teacher to teach you, but to, you know, for the student to know, what do I have to do to get good? You know, if I come to class early, am I going to twiddle my thumbs waiting for the teacher to come and teach me, or am I going to train? So it's really good to hear about this kind of training. And I'm sure it's going to be good for the listeners that are new to martial arts to hear it too. Hint, hint.
I love to hear that, Sifu. I believe in that. I trained also under Tony Lamadoro. He came out of the Hawaii Kempo Systems out of Hawaii, and but I remember he used to tell me, he goes, if because he would teach me after he got off work, and let's say we met at a park or somewhere to work out, you know, he says, just don't let me come up here, get there if I'm running late, and see you just sitting there waiting on me, you know. I want to see you stretching when I drive up, warming up, you know, and or doing something. They'll just sit there and wait, you know, wait, that. You remind me of him saying that when I always have that in my mind. It's especially when I was training with somebody. If I got there early, and you stretch or you work out or work on the technique that he taught you or you're going to cover. But that makes the instructors feel good.
It does. I remember my wushu and tai chi instructor. I went through like a year of private lessons with her because I was missing classes, and I would get there early. I had a key, and I'd get there early, and she would come up like maybe about half an hour later. I'd get there early, and I would just work because she was a real stickler on, if you don't have these movements, you won't learn anything new. We'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again until you get it. So I was like bound and determined, I'm going to work this, so that way, you know, that way she sees I'm actually working at it rather than, you know, thinking that I'm going to come in and just get something new and run with it, right? And the days where I would just, it was funny, the days that I would just show up on time, we would do same thing over and over again that I already knew. But if I got there early and worked out, that was when she would like throw everything at me, you know. And then I'd go, oh my gosh, how am I going to remember all this for next week? So yeah, if you're just sitting around waiting for the teacher to teach you, then a lot of times you got another thing coming. Well, it looks like we have another caller. Wow, it might be your friend again, Sifu Bob. Caller from 818-8143. Go ahead. You're on the Dynamic Dojo.
Hi, another question for Guru Lindsay.
Hi.
The full contact stick fighting, like Dog Brothers or other organizations, what's your opinion on that? I'll just throw that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru. I love it. I love that stuff. Of course, my big concern is safety, and it's always been that from the Hugo Tudo days, from the deathmatch days. Safety was always the major concern, and it's also my concern in MMA, you know, in boxing, as fighters become stronger and bigger, and they're always developing more ways to have more strength, power, and speed.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lot more injuries, and my big thing is the injuries. You know, just whatever's going on out there, somebody be concerned with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Thank God we've been lucky. You know, in the United States, I don't think we've had a death yet. And everybody's swinging hard. You know, you see all the gatherings, and you see these guys training in the parks. I've been guilty of it myself. And, you know, you get caught up in the heat of the moment, and you're
mm-hmm.
swinging that stick. And keep in mind, we all train. It's not like somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. We know how to swing that one or that angle two or you know, and because of that, we got to be careful. You know, aim for meat, I call it. Aim for thighs and the arms. Try to stay away from the headshots, even though you can take it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with it. You know, you can hit them in the shoulder. You can pull your strikes. You know, again, and my biggest thing is safety. But what it does is it purifies your skill. It purifies your technique or your system. If something's not working for you, you know, like I had a buddy. He goes, I can't move from the shielding block, the umbrella block, you know, with the tip down
mm-hmm.
and your fist up. He goes, that feels very awkward. And he was getting beat up behind that. And I said, well, then you got to change. Maybe it worked for whoever invented that, but it's definitely not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a purification going on with those hard bangings. You know, gear up. Don't gear up for yourself. You know, you have to be responsible for your safety.
Mm-hmm.
Good helmet, you know, cup. Please wear all the protective gear that you can, you know. And if you're like me, I need my fingers for my job, you know, a lot of my work. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't be ashamed of wearing heavy-duty gloves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing macho about getting broken fingers and, you know, contusions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like the term you used for that purification, because isn't the Dog Brothers motto something like a higher consciousness through harder contact or
yes,
something like that?
Yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah, good old Mark Denny's a great guy. He's done a lot for the FMAF. You know, of course, you have the people that have been backbiting him and talking all their smack about whatever's going on there. That's in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what goes on at the fights, there's a different element. It's like you know, playing learning how to drive a car on a video game, and then going and driving the car, a real car. That's the
difference,
you know. And you have to experience that, you know. You have to go in the ring. You have to, at one day, you know, you have to say, okay, I gotta see where I stand. You don't. You know, some people don't need that, but I believe these hard-hitting gatherings, a lot of guys do need that, you know. They're training,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, man, I gotta see if this stuff works, you know.
Yeah.
And better to fight out there than in a dangerous situation, you know.
Yeah, for real. Now, didn't they have their latest gathering of the pack, like, not too long ago, right?
Yes.
I've never been to one.
That don't believe in it. I recommend it as long as a person trains for it, trains enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, and if it's a good environment, and they're not going there with ulterior motives or
right.
agendas, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna show them my XYZ system's better than the MLLK system, you know, or something, you know, like that. That's
right.
That you got to be watch out for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that'll pop up, or you get four or five of your buddies you train in your garage, and you go down there, and you're going to make a name for yourselves, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets a little ugly, and you got to kind of keep away from that, you know, or keep an eye
yeah.
out for it.
Yeah, for real.
Right,
Bob, do you have any other questions?
Well, Guru, do you believe in sparring with live stick or sparring with practice sticks? Because you fight the way you train, and the reason I said that is if you do pull your stick motion into a tick instead of a lob tick, would you take that to the streets? And would it be better to train with live, or would it be better to train with practice, like the old Lomiko practice stick?
I believe in all of the above. With safety and practicing, but no, you got to go with the live stuff. You have to. There's a difference going with a training with a razor sharp knife than a rubber knife. I mean,
right.
You know, it's a big time. I mean, and if I'm holding a 12 inch a Jim Bowie or an Arkansas toothpick in my hand, and then I say, okay, disarm me. It seems really crazy, you know, like you got to be out of your mind. I'm like, but if you're holding a rubber knife, like, okay, I'm going to do my 20 techniques I know how. But when the guy's sitting there with a big razor sharp blade, or has a real heavy multi-node close node stick, and he's swinging it with all his might, there's a difference. And a lot to be honest, you know, 60% of the techniques you won't even be able to use, you know, when you're going full speed or live.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where you got to get up to that speed to go back to square one and say, okay, gosh, hindsight's always 20/20. Go, man, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I could have done this. And that's what, you know, then you get better. Believe me, there's a lot of guys that can do it without going into a live situation or that's more power to them, you know. They can excel without that, but there are those that need to do that. You need to go to the live stick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to a live fight. Grandmaster Floro Villarreal believed training was good, but he believed in real fights. Actually
mm-hmm.
getting in real, not just sanctioned fights or boxing matches or point karate, get all of that you can in, but he believed in getting into a real fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear that with soldiers, you know, you can't beat the seasoned combat veteran, you know what I mean? Somebody that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hear those like World War II guys that had 1 year in combat, you know, or where they were actually in a combat situation. Is that soldier better than the soldier in Vietnam that saw maybe one or two firefights? You know, I mean, does
mm-hmm.
that make him any less or any better? I don't know. You know, and I
right.
use that analogy to pertain to martial arts. If somebody goes into a live fight and he's been into 10 live fights, is he better than the guy that trains and spars but never been in a live fight? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that is a good point, but there is a – and you brought up a good point because that is a mentality difference, being in a sparring match with somebody who doesn't want to take your head off to somebody in the streets that does. You may react
mm-hmm.
differently, but it's going to be it may take you to get hit for you to realize, or you to train harder to be ready for that live fight. You might get your butt
right.
kicked the first live fight you're in.
Right. But well, also,
that,
too, like in – yeah. Well, also, too, like in, like, let's just say point sparring and stuff, you know, the other mindset is that you're going to go in, score your points, and you leave.
Right.
Either you
I remember
get
that.
A trophy or you don't. Yeah,
right.
I do, too.
Right.
Either you get a trophy or you don't. But, you know, and a lot of times, you know, coming, you know, because I've gone through the tournament circuit for I don't know how many years, you know, a lot of times, you know, you'll see people that will – have a chip on their shoulder because they've won so many, you know, sparring matches or semi-contact sparring matches or, you know, or the regional champion or the national champion or this and that and the other or whatever. And it's just so much different than, you know, getting out of your car and having someone, you know, unprovoked come at you. And it's not the ring. But although... you know, I'm a firm believer that sparring does give you, you know, the timing and the rhythm and a sense for, I don't know what the other person's going to throw. How am I going to react? It gives you all sorts of other stuff. But, you know, as far as, like, when it comes to the adrenaline dump, I do believe it's different than the street. So, yeah, you know, and that's why I
absolutely.
Think, you know.
And
yeah.
You said something interesting, Guru, that, you know, Guru Flora believed in real fights. And I was, you know, I was talking to Teddy about this as well. When he was growing up, there was no gear to wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing masks with bare knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I'm sure Guru Flora was doing Dog Brothers with no gear. No cup, no headgear, no gloves, no nothing.
Big time. Yeah, my dad and them did that. I've seen them spar. There was no gear. And whether that was a good thing, you got to be real careful. My dad actually had very good control all the way up until his later years, where he could swing hard. And I remember doing a demonstration with him, and I was feeding him the strikes, and he was doing his counters. And he was going fast, and he grabbed. I looked at the stick he grabbed out of his bag, and it was one of the big, heavy, close-node hard sticks. And I'm going, oh my goodness! I hope Pop still has it, you know. But he was putting it right on target. Not once did he accident. You know, and use the quotation marks. Not once did he accidentally hit me. And that was one of his pet peeves: is guys that didn't have control. Like, you know, you're there and you're going to go close contact and this comes from the point karate days too, where it's close contact or you don't have to complete the hit. I know you got me in the face. You don't have to hit me in the face, you know. But
mm-hmm.
some guys, for whatever reason, would always hit you in the face, you know.
Yeah,
but with all due respect,
absolutely. But with all due respect, your father was on an ozone level that people didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
That was a piece when a person didn't have control with their strikes and their hits.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right.
But that kind of,
right.
Seafoods, that comes from the days of not working with protective gear, though. Your sensitivity is a lot higher. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're going, you start picking up speed with your master or whoever's training you, you know, out of respect and fear, too. You don't want to hit them, you know, so you start learning to pull and control your hits.
Right, yeah, because, when I was coming up in karate, the protective gear was an option, but we didn't have, like, the headgear or the big 6-inch padded, you know, gloves or shin guards or anything like that. And, yeah, like you said, you know, you learned control. But you also learned, how to really pinpoint your targets to make sure that if you were going to score a point, that it was going to count instead of being, like, you know, 2 feet away, that kind of thing. So, that's very true. Very true. Well, we're getting close on time. Go ahead, Bob.
I lost my train of thought. Thank you, Zipo.
Sorry.
How many different styles of collie did you actually pick up, and were there really a lot of nuances, a lot of differences between the styles?
No, that's the thing. There really isn't. In fact, the more I look at other styles, maybe a system or a style I've never even heard of, I start noticing more similarities than differences. And that's what blows my mind. I go, how can this guy that's thousands of miles away be doing something and we meet and we start training and it's like two guitars jamming together effortlessly, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a lot. I've trained with guys in Stockton, Hawaii, from the Philippines, all different parts of the mainland, and the flow is unbelievable. There is more similarities.
Right. There might be a different 12 count. I think I've learned the 12 count a half a dozen different ways.
Yeah, and then like my dad would say, you can have 1,000 strikes. You know, as many as if you put a circle around your body, as many points as there is on that circle, which is infinite, that's how many strikes you can have. So
for whatever reason, you know, he broke his down to 12, you know.
Oh, very good. Well, there were some great questions tonight, weren't there, Sifu?
Yeah, well, great questions. Very good questions. We had some people log into the chat today. I'm kind of bummed out that they didn't ask questions, but I guess they were just coming in to listen. Great questions from Guru Stewart and from your buddy Miles. Awesome, awesome. And these are the types of questions that we want to get from all of our listeners, even, you know, even questions that you might think are really simple. So, you know, remember, no question's ever stupid. If you're curious about any of the subjects or any of the guests that we have out there, listeners, go ahead and call in. We're really close on time, though.
Sure. Are we really? Well, let me say
like,
one more thing.
But go ahead.
Even growing up with Guru Stewart, some of the questions I asked were just as an intellectual, simple questions like, you know, you're doing the triangle footwork, female and male, but in appearance they might be the same. You know what I mean?
Right, someone was just looking at it, right?
If somebody's looking at it, they look identical. What is the difference between the female and male? Is it body posture? Is it are you leaning back in one compared to leaning forward in the male? Can you answer that for me? I mean, that's a real simple question our listeners should actually be asking as well.
I'm sorry, was that addressed to me?
Oh, yes, sir, it was. I'm sorry.
Oh, not a problem. And what was that again? The
female
the
and male triangle. Yeah, on the footwork. The female and male triangle look similar. What is the body posture? What makes them different?
What makes, to me, they're basically the same. It's more offensive and defensive on postures and stances and techniques. And that's one thing with, you know, I've heard that referred to like with gender-specific styles and like you're saying footwork. I believe it's, and this is my interpretation, okay, it's, you know, it's my opinion that anything with male gender is more aggressive and it may be stronger, and it's a little bit sexist, you know, it may be in nature when they were thinking it, but for example, you know, in the floral that you heard about the blind princess where he trained with, and that's how he got his beautiful defense where it covered everything. You know, you see a lot of the figure eight, a lot of the fanning defenses supposedly came from her. Whether it was true or not is Princess Josephina, supposedly in the Visayan Islands. But whether it was true or not, her defenses seem like it was feminine. You know, like the guy doing a fanning defense wasn't you know, really combative. It was the fanning, which I love. I love all kinds of total coverage defenses, especially with weapons. I believe it's like if I'm doing the cha-cha and I'm taking the male lead, and then the female starts off going backwards, right?
Right.
Whoever's leading is the one stepping forward. There's no real difference. I don't know if I'm answering the question, but when I do study footworks and I'm looking at the footwork and it is the same or appears to be the same, it probably is the same, you know, no matter how they call it or describe it. But my dad being a dancer, I learned to look at a lot of stuff as like you're learning a choreographed dance or something, a dance routine or dance steps. I don't know if that answers it, Guru.
It sounds like it's more of a body posturing. If you're in the male stance, your body's more of a forward leaning motion, as it would be a strike, or the female would be more an evasive. Okay.
Yeah, and if you think about it, we all taking the gender and the sexist part out of it. Self defense is you're at a we're all at a big disadvantage, okay? Because what we're trying to, I think all martial artists, you know, with a good heart set, a good mindset, you know, they're trying to end a horrible situation where everybody wins. I take down the bad guy. I don't get hurt. I don't get cut. I save my wife and family. I save my kids, the mm-hmm. people in the neighborhood, the people in the theater, and everybody wins, and I just take down the bad guy with the least amount of harm. Okay, that's the ideal situation that you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very hard to do because we're reactionary. You know what I mean? The person taking that offensive, aggressive stance, he's already going out there, and anybody can do that. It's proved in the news all the time. A kid, for whatever reason, takes a gun to school and starts shooting everybody. You know, of course he's going to hit people because that's not normal. People aren't expecting it. But we as martial artists, that's what we train for, you know. I mean, the serious ones do. You know, like I know when I trained with a lot of the old grandmasters from the Philippines, they're almost maniacally serious, you know, because they grew up around a lot of death. You know, you learn from people in the third world countries, like or the way they train, you know, whether it's Central or South America where you can't carry guns, or Africa where you can't carry guns. They want to learn how to swing a stick and a machete or a big old bolo or a knife, you know, because their life depends on it.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Steve, I have a question for you. When the show ends, how long does it take, if somebody didn't get to listen to the show or wants to listen to it again, how long does it take to be archived into a podcast?
It's almost instantaneous, but usually you give it about 5 minutes, because what it does is, as it's streaming, it's also trying to record in the background on their server. So if you give it about, 2 to 5 minutes after the show, it'll be ready for listening on the archives. So, yeah, so if you missed the show today, if you guys just tuned in and you're like, darn it, the show's almost over, you know, give us about another 5 minutes after we sign off and you'll be able to listen to it. If not immediately, I don't know. I've never had the opportunity to click on it on the archive right after I've gotten off the air, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't take long at all. So.
Well, it's funny. I mentioned that, and Mark Sewer wrote on our wall and said, you guys need to record these shows. It's great stuff.
Yeah, they are recorded, Bruce Stewart, and they're going to be on archive, like, forever, basically. All the shows are recorded, so if anyone misses a show, don't worry about it. You can always listen to the archives and stuff like that. So, speaking of
archives, this was an amazing show.
It was a great inaugural show, and thank you so much, Guru Lindsay, for joining us today. Thank you so much for.
Thank you, Sifu Bob and Sifu Restita. Kudos, both of you. Salute, Pugai. I wish you all the best with your show, and you can bet that you have a fan here. I love shows like this, and I'll be listening.
Awesome!
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So before we sign off, I just want to let people know about next week's guest. Next week we have Jacob Ressler. So if you want to learn a little bit more about Krav Maga, go ahead and call in next week. We air every Sunday at 6 p.m., with the exception of every third Sunday. Every third Sunday we will have a brunch Sunday show, and those shows will air at 11 a.m. So, but we'll make sure that everybody knows when those Brunch Sunday shows are on. So, anyhow, thank you again, Guru Lindsay. Thank you, Sifu Bob.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our first episode. We hope to see you all next week. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.